Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of welcome, welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to connecting with you every single day, hopefully to bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, that actually deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that even heighten your sense and awareness of His presence in your life. And today is no different, man. We've got a great program planned for you today. Here's a question to get the conversation started. If God is love, why doesn't everybody feel loved by Him? Why do some claim to experience Him in deep and profound ways, while others just say, can't relate, I feel distant from Him, I know about Him, I don't really feel like I know Him? Is it possible you might be looking in the wrong direction? Well, you've no doubt heard about the bestseller, The Five Love Languages, but did you realize that your love language actually impacts how you relate to God and how He relates to you? Well, my guest today writes this. He said, each of us has a primary love language, and when we listen to God in our heart language, we will experience God's love in the most intimate way. So honored to be welcoming Dr. Gary Chapman to the program. We're talking about his book. This might be one of my favorites of this love language series, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. We've got Dr. Chapman for the first half hour, which means the second half hour we'll be taking your calls, and I'm counting on you. I want to hear from you. We've got five copies to give away. That's when we'll do it, is if you get on the air, you get a copy of Gary's book. Also want to tell you, if you've got a desire to take a college course, you maybe don't have the funds to go back to school, but you want to just increase your capacity, your learning capacity, University of Northwestern is offering a Life of Christ course for free. Starts March 11th, and the spots are filling up fast. You'll find more information on our website at myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Author, pastor, speaker, and counselor, Dr. Gary Chapman has a passion for helping people form lasting relationships. He's the best-selling author of The Five Love Languages. The book we're talking about today is God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. Dr. Chapman, so great to talk with you again today.
Well, thank you, Susie. It's great to be back with you.
Always good to talk with you as well, sir. And you know this, I've had you interviewed you plenty of times. We love to start out by talking scripture. Wondering if you've got a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
I think I would say John 15, verse 5, where Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, Susie, I learned that early in my life, right after college. I was working in a print shop and trying to run a folder, and they gave me instructions, and I worked all day long, and I couldn't get it to work. And that next morning, they gave me more instructions. This went on for 4 days. The fifth morning, I was reading in my quiet time, John 15, 5, without me, you can do nothing. And I said, oh, God, I can't even run a dumb folder without you. I said, please give me wisdom on how to run this folder. And I went in to work that morning, and everything just clicked. Never forgot that lesson. I'm glad I learned it young. Without God, we can do nothing. So every day, I'm asking God for wisdom, 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 wisdom. We can't trust our own wisdom, and we can't do anything without Him. But with Him, we can do everything He has in mind for us.
Such a good word, Dr. Chapman. You think about, to me, that's one of the best-kept secrets in Scripture, in the book of James. You know, if you need wisdom, God will not only not fault you for asking, He will lavish wisdom on you as you ask for it.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
In other places, it says, woe to you who are wise in your own eyes. It's almost like if you say, I got this, you're trying to promote a certain independence, you're actually on dangerous ground. What a great promise that He'll give us wisdom as we need it, you know?
Absolutely.
So good. Well, the story that inspired this book, God Speaks Your Love Language, is just fantastic. You were at a craft store with your wife, and you decided to occupy one of the rocking chairs on the front porch. Tell us that story.
Well, you know, this guy, as I remember it, and maybe you remember it better than I do because I haven't read it in a while.
Yeah.
But he was
Should I set it up for you?
Yeah.
Because it,
yeah,
I,
you
it
go
just
ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell the story.
I remember it as you tell it.
Can you correct me if I get it wrong? But what I love about you is your utter humility in the way that you engage with others. But this other guy sits down next to you, and right away I don't know, one of you sparked up a conversation and he starts asking you about a family member. He said, I got a family member who goes to one of those holy roller churches. And I can picture this smile on your face going, well, tell me what kind of holy roller church you're talking about. And then he starts talking about how demonstrative the church is. Is this ringing a bell for you?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You want to take it from there?
And the reality is, you know, as we talked on and on, because he was trying to decide, how is it that my brother, who's a Christian, is all caught up, you know, he's physical, you know, he's raising his hands and all this. And I'm a Christian, but I don't do that. That's not me, you know. And I talk with him about the five love languages and the fact that when we become believers, we tend to express our love to God in our love language. And so that's why his brother's expressing it in a physical way, because physical touch is his language. And he had a very dramatic conversion experience. His body was touched. He was shaking and crying when he came to Christ. And so, you know, later on he told me, you know, this makes all the sense in the world. I understand it now, why some Christians have one kind of experience when they come to Christ and then consequently express their love to God in one way, and other people have different conversion experiences, and they express their love to God in another way, just the way God made us.
Yeah, and I so much about that story that I love. First of all, I love your humility in when you said, why don't you tell me what kind of holy roller church you're talking about, rather than coming to a snap judgment. But then you went out in your car because your wife was done with her shopping and you didn't have time to stay, so you gave him the book, The Love Languages. And what happened was he took it home, started to read it, and he did not realize how much his marriage was in deep need of it. Then he gave it to his brother, the holy roller guy, and he read it and realized his wife was very much disconnected from him. So these two marriages were really restored from that book. And then that guy got back to you and said, you should write a book about God speaking your love language. And you thought, I think I might do that. And that's just an amazing story. I really appreciate that so much. But let's talk a bit about that. Go ahead.
So many people through the years who would ask me this question, Susie. What is God's love language? And you know, when I started looking in the scriptures, it was pretty clear. God speaks all five love languages, and he speaks them fluently. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a primary. And that's another reason why we can express our love to God in different ways. God gets it, because he understands all five of the love languages. But, you know, the book ended up being in three different sections. One, I'm dealing with conversion experiences. That is how people come to Christ. And it's a whole lot of evidence that God does speak our love language. You know, you take Paul, or Saul, he was then, on the road to Damascus. He was going to put Christians in jail. He had a physical experience. The light came. His body fell to the ground. He was blinded. God got his attention. And my guess is his love language is physical touch. God knew how to get his attention. So, you know, I just looked through the Old Testament, New Testament, And you see God using all five of these languages to touch people's hearts and to draw them to himself. And I think that should help us when we're thinking about our own conversion experience, because I do hear people say, well, you know, I don't know. I don't have the same experience that, you know, my brother or my sister had. And that's okay. The important thing is, are you trusting in Jesus, you know? And the way you came to that decision may have been different, and it's because God was reaching you in one way and reaching them in another way.
And boy, does it help. I appreciate so much in the book for us not to judge each other or to consider our way the superior way, because we're all wired so differently. I mean, I'm total introvert, and quality time and acts of service are my love languages. And so to see that in the context of my relationship with God, I can spend hours in my prayer time, and it's just the most blessed, blissful time. And others will say that's like torture for them, as much as they love God. But when they are in acts of service, or when they're walking around, you know, they're gathering at the church, I love my church, I go to church. But where I really meet with God is in my solitude. But that gives us some room to have some grace for each other, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, George Mueller, he said if he didn't spend 2 or 3 hours in the morning with God alone, he felt like he was distant from God. And as you said, some of the rest of us would say, 3 hours? I mean, 10 minutes is about all I can do. I cannot read one verse in the Bible. That's about it. Well, but for quality time people, man, this is the way they express love to God, the way they receive God's love. And words of affirmation people. You know, Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he said, Your words were found, and I ate them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It was the word of God that spoke to him. Martin Luther, you know, here he was, you know, he was studying hard, trying to be hard, trying to be a good Christian, trying to earn God. And then he read in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. And he said, paradise broke in my soul when I realized it's not by works that God accepts us. It's faith in Jesus that accepts us. So words of affirmation is what got him. God spoke to him and opened his heart with those words. So, you know, you can go through church history, the Bible, contemporary experience, and see people having different kind of conversion experiences. It has implications for those of us who are trying to win people to Christ, that if we know their love language and we speak their love language, remember, we're God's hands, we're God's voice in our generation, and God can use us more effectively if we learn how to be extensions of his love to that person. So, you know, it has a lot of implications there. And then implications also in understanding why some people are so readily raise their hands when they worship and get on their knees when they pray. Those are physical touch people. And acts of service people volunteer to work in the soup kitchen, volunteer to go mow someone's grass. I mean, this to them is the way you serve God, you know, acts of service. So it's a fascinating study to see how we're drawn to Christ and then how we respond to Christ after we become believers.
This conversation is so important because, once again, it helps you understand, as you say, how you connect with the Lord, but then it helps you have some grace for how others do as well. We're going to pause here talking to Dr. Gary Chapman. Title of his book, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. I absolutely love this book. For the second half of the show, we've got Dr. Chapman for another 15 minutes, but after that, we'll take calls. And what I want to know from you is, how does God speak to you? And tell me about a time that God really connected with you, that you just know it was him and your heart was changed. When we come back, I want you to tell us about a few more people from Scripture and how you identify their love language, like King David, for instance, and Peter. I would love to know. Talking to Dr. Gary Chapman, and we'll be back in a moment. Tuning in to Middays, I'm Susie Larson talking to our friend Dr. Gary Chapman, who's written another great book, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. And this answers so many questions for so many, because you may wonder, why don't I connect with God the way that person does? Well, if you look at the gifts, the love languages, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, physical touch, and you understand what your love language is, it will better explain how and why you relate to God and even to others the way that you do. Let's take King David, for example, Dr. Chapman. What would you say his love language is?
I'm guessing words of affirmation, because look what he did. He wrote psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm, talking about praising God, thanking God, glorifying God. And this is what happens. If this is your love language, not only will you be drawn to Christ by the word of God, but you will pour out your life in words as well. Just again, like Martin Luther did, you know, when he was converted, what did he do? He wrote sermons, he wrote commentaries, he wrote hymns, he wrote the 95 Theses. I mean, so if you see how a person is spending their time responding to God, it's a pretty good clue as to what the love language of that person is.
So let's say words of affirmation is their love language, and they realize when they go a long time without receiving those, they feel dried up, relationally speaking. Would you suggest for them to really connect with God if they feel lacking in that area, to spend some time reading Scripture that affirm God's heart for them, and maybe listening to songs like the one that came in the bumper about his love for us? Would that be a wise pathway to take for them to just better connect?
I think so, yes, because if words of affirmation is what make you feel, then read the Psalms, you know, read certain Psalms, because there's other Psalms that are not praising God and not expressing love. It's saying, poor old me, you know, that's part of life too. But yes, I think reading Scriptures out loud, you know, to God and to yourself, and then just starting thanking God. Look around the room and start thanking God for the bed, for the lights, the lampstand, for the light, for the, you know, just in one room, and thank God for things. And the more you thank God, the more you realize. You see, you're verbalizing what God has done for you, in just in material things, but it brings you a consciousness of who God is and what he's done to bless you.
I would imagine that would be the same a case with gifts, if your love language is gifts. You know, it's interesting for me, I think I told you this last time I interviewed you, that I give lots of gifts away. It's almost like an inverse love language, because gifts aren't my love language, but mm-hmm. I just love giving people gifts. It's just something that I do. I don't quite get that. Why you know, I'm that one way but not another. Gifts don't really make a big deal on the receiving side.
Yeah.
But he gives good gifts to his kids, and I imagine if that's your love language, it's good to look around and all the ways that God has already been good.
Absolutely, and you will be one that gives gifts. But now, you're exactly right. We may speak one language more than the others, and it not be the one we want to receive. And I don't know exactly why that is. Sometimes I think it's because we were taught to speak that love language growing up, like maybe we saw our parents giving gifts, or you know, and we were taught you give gifts to people that you love, and so we do that, but it's not what we really want. So about 25% of the people will speak one language more predominantly, but prefer a different love language. But 75% of the people, what they speak most often is also what they want to receive. And so I think in terms of gifts, you know, these are people that will not stop with a tithe. I mean, they may begin with tithing, but God blesses them. They want to give more. They want to give more. They want to give more. I remember talking to a man, and I was telling him what happened in our church, that I challenged our church to give $500,000 to missions. And I said, all that takes is 500 people who will just give $1,000. And I said, you'd lay $20 aside every week, and at the end of the year, you've got your $1,000. And I was telling him that story and how God had blessed our church in that way. He said, Gary, did I ever tell you my story? I said, I don't think so. He said, well, when we got married, my wife and I were both believers, and as singles, we tithed our income to God. He said, the first year of our marriage, we did that, and God blessed us. And I said to my wife, honey, this year, could we raise it to 11%? God's been good to us. And she said, sure, honey. He said, every year, you know, God blessed us, and we just raised it 1% every year. And I said to him, how long have you been married? He said, 49 years.
Oh, my goodness.
At that time, he was giving 59% of their money to God. You know,
wow.
This is giving people. I mean, if this is your love language, this is the most natural way for you to express love to God. Now, it doesn't mean, and I really want to make this clear, it doesn't mean that you only speak your own love language to God. We need to learn some of the other love languages, too. I found this, Susie. We're creatures of habit, and we tend to get in ruts. So let's say that acts of service is your love language, and you volunteer to work at the soup kitchen. And every Thursday night when you went down there and you dipped beans, you looked into the eyes of that person in front of you, and you saw Jesus. Because you remember what Jesus said, you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. It was so exciting for you. That was 10 years ago. You still go to the soup kitchen on Thursday night. But you're not really thinking about God. You're just dipping beans. You know, it's become routine for you. God never intended our love relationship to be routine. So I say, try some different dialects of your own language and try some of the other languages. It'll keep your relationship with God alive and awake.
Boy, that is so great, because we do bend towards what's comfortable and what we know. And, you know, I always make these parallels between physical health and our spiritual health, because they're so there. But, you know, you do enough good stuff like exercise. You do the same thing all the time. At first that you get traction, but after a while you stall out because your body's no longer challenged and you have to up your game. You got to change things up. I just think we can become creatures of repetition. Where when you do that, it seems like you take your heart out of it, because you can do it almost without thinking about it, you know?
Absolutely, and you're just going through the motions. And you can do that. A quality time person can do that with their time with God in the morning. You know, they do the same thing every morning, same length of time, same. And sometimes they walk away and they realize, they don't know what they read. They don't remember what they said to God. You know, they went through the motions. And I say, okay, now you need to have a time with God. Maybe you ought to choose a different place, or a new translation of the Bible. Or maybe you ought to walk around the block and memorize a verse of Scripture one morning. You just do it a little differently and make it alive, because it will be alive if you don't just follow the same routine you do every time.
So how about you, Dr. Chapman? What are your love languages? And then how do you connect with him?
Well, mine is words of affirmation. And the scriptures speak so loudly, so clearly. I mean, this is where I hear God's voice most clearly. It's when I'm reading the scriptures. You know, I read every morning, and I'm saying to God, I'm listening. Whatever you want to say to me, I want to hear it. And I'll underline certain things in the chapter. Then I go back and read them again, and I say, God, I'm looking for the one thing that you really want to say to me today. And then, you know, it's always there. It's always there. And it may be that I need to confess a sin. It may be I need to thank God for something or ask him for something. But it's the Word of God that speaks most clearly to me. So what have I done with my life? I give people words. I write words. I talk, you know, I speak. I don't sing. If I did sing, I'd sing, you know.
Fantastic.
Oh.
Well, someone texted in and said, Susie, do you give gifts in order to help or nourish them? Maybe you give gifts out of the ministry of helps. So that's an interesting thought, because then I think of quality time and acts of service. You know, when I'm sitting in my time with the Lord and I ponder that he would give me access to his presence and give personal attention to me. And then when I ponder his divine intervention in my life, that's an act of service. When I pray about something and I see that he moved, I'm so completely undone by it that in response to that, I want to do the things that he cares about. And I think part of that is giving the gifts. It is interesting how that overflow will happen when you first connect with him in that way. I mean, speak if you would. We just got about a minute left here, a minute and a half. But to that person who longs to connect with God but just doesn't even know where to start.
Well, I would say if that person knows their love language, that's the place to begin to look in God's direction. You know, scriptures say clearly, you will find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. So if your heart is crying out to know God, God wants to know you more than you want to know him. And so I would say, if words of affirmation is your language, for example, just start reading the Bible. Read the Gospel of John. Maybe you've read it before. Read it again and just listen to what God is doing through Jesus. And if gifts is your love language, then focus on what God has given you, not just the material things, not just the relationships you have, but forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. You know, and the more you look in that direction, look in the direction of your natural love language, and you're likely to see very clearly that God does love you, and you'll sense it very deeply.
One last question for you, Dr. Chapman. What do you know about God now that you didn't know even a few years ago?
I think that he can be trusted even when he doesn't do what we ask him to do in our prayers. We can trust that the reason he did not do it is because he wanted what was best for us. You know, just as a parent, I don't always give my children when they were little. I didn't always give them what they asked for. I gave them what I knew was best for them. And God does the same for us.
Dr. Chapman, I know you've got a full schedule. The fact that you give us your time is precious to us. God bless you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Susie. Keep up the good work. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. And you as well. All right, friends, the phone lines are open. Don't leave me hanging here. 877-933-2484. How does God speak to you? When was the last time you really connected with God? Tell me about it. Give us a call. I'll be back in a minute. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to have you listening today. We just wrapped up a conversation with Dr. Gary Chapman about his book, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. We've got 5 copies to give away, and the phone lines are open. I want to hear from you. And I will say, I'm not above bribery, so I'm bribing you, okay? If you get on the air, you get a copy of Gary's book. Call us 877-933-2484. And if you're too shy to get on the air, totally get it. Text in. Tell me, how does God most speak to you? Some, you know, they go on a walk. You know, they are in God's Word, as Dr. Chapman said. You know, just me in my quiet time. Some, when they gather in the assembly at church. Tell me how God connects with you. And maybe even about a time when you knew you heard from the Lord. I'd love to hear that as well. If you want to text, I will read those on the air. But I'd love to talk with you as well. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We've got Tom, my good friend, so grateful. I can count on you, Tom. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Susie. Yeah, I'm real shy when it comes to calling in and talking on the air.
Well, I appreciate you. Let me just tell you that.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I really appreciate you being back on, on the midday. Say, I learned so much in that I'm plowing snow today, and learning so much from Dr. Chapman. And I did not realize that our love languages, what we like to do for people or serve or whatever, that is part of our love languages. Never knew that at all, and it just clicked. It made so much sense. And what I really like to do, I know you said you really like to do service work and give gifts. I love to give gifts. It's just one of my huge things. It's really hard for me to accept gifts, but I love to give, and I love to give gifts. I love to give people, I think probably because I like to give them, well, money, that's one thing, but I like to help people because my childhood, it was so tight. It was so hard for my mom. She was a divorced mom. And so things were so tight. So I love to give people, I guess a lot of people would say I should be bitter. And I was really picked on a lot as a kid, and I love, but now I could have turned that inward, and I love to give people compliments. I was torn down a lot by my, parents, but compared, the comparison stuff, and to my older sibling. And I tell you, Susie, I love to give compliments, and I love to give gifts. And I didn't realize that is part of the love language. I did
Isn't
not
that
know
amazing?
That.
And he loves to give good gifts to you as well, Tom. And I just think as you start to be aware of that, and you notice when you're doing that for others, and I can attest to that, you have such a gift of encouragement that you're really operating in the love of God. And I just pray that even more so now, your eyes will open up to all the ways that God brings encouragement to you, the way that he provides for you. And, I'm just thinking scripture talks about when you steward the little that he entrusts, he will give you more. And I pray that he will answer your heart's desire and allow you to steward even more, Tom. And be sure you hang on the line and give Carissa your address so we can get a copy of Gary's book. You will love it. It's fantastic. Thank you for the call.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. 877-933-2484. We've got Nate calling in from Rogers. Hey, Nate, thanks so much for calling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Appreciate you not letting me sit here all by myself without anybody calling. Right now, I just want to say thanks for that. So do you know what your love language is? Yeah?
Yeah, I was listening to the show, and I heard the guy.
The guest?
The author. Yes, I heard him on another show too, but it didn't strike me until this interview with you talking to him that I think that I'm the physical touch love language, and it really struck me because I lift my hands when I pray and when I'm singing at church, and when I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart, I felt lightning go from my tip of my head all the way to my toes, like electricity. And I said, I want to feel God's presence, every day for the rest of my life and just serve him. And so I knew when he was talking about that that's kind of my love language. And I also started playing piano about a year ago, just completely. Like, I've played all kinds of instruments my whole life, but I really feel like God just gave me the gift of playing piano for my daughter who has autism, and it just calms our house down to play. I play like just off the top of my head, and it's like a prayer, and it feels like it's just coming from the Holy Spirit to God. And I feel like that sort of fits into there too, because it's really just coming out of my hands. I don't read the music, and I just play. And I think I'm gonna, try to do music therapy for other people with that. I feel like God has a plan there.
Nate, I mean, you just look at God's affection for you, that he wired you with the love language of physical touch, and then that is the way he met you in your conversion experience. And then he uses physical touch, your hands on that piano, to minister to your daughter and possibly now to others in need. I mean, to me, that just speaks of the glory and the goodness of God. And you get a copy, stay in the line, you get a copy of God Speaks Your Love Language. You will love it. He does tell a story in the book of a couple where the woman was more of an academic, and she really kind of met with God in the secret place, a lot like me. I'm not calling myself an academic, but I'm an introvert, and I love that secret place. But her husband had that jolt of lightning experience, and she was very suspect of it because she thought, you know, and when you're not that way, where if someone has that, it's so easy to judge and think that that's sensationalism. But God meets people that way, and I just think it's beautiful that he does, and I love that he met you that way, Nate. And
yeah.
Anyway, looking forward to you.
I feel like I needed that, and that's just what he kind of gave me. And because I've always just been that kind of person where I kind of needed God to touch me. And it's not like I don't think it's experience that is the be all end all, but I feel like God bridged the gap and you know, chased me down and
yes.
and he sought me out and I'm just so blessed and
love that.
Humbled.
Thank you, Nate.
You know.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call so much, and I think someone else maybe needed to hear that today. Hope you enjoy the book, sir. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you.
God bless you. Mm-hmm. All right, Thomas is checking in from Minneapolis. Hey, Thomas, thanks for holding and thanks for calling today.
You're welcome, Susie.
Good to have you. What's your love language?
Well, my love language is, you know, sometimes I love to help people meet their needs, mm-hmm. and sometimes by encouraging them that there is a God, everything that we go through is good to take it to God in prayer, mm-hmm. and make them to know that we are not alone. There's somebody watching over all, which is God. And one of the questions also that you asked, you said, how do you really listen to God? And I was just telling somebody, mostly sometimes I listen to God through his word. Sometimes my quiet time when I want to hear from him, and I just mm-hmm. ask the Lord, I said, Lord, I mean, what do you want me to do? And tell me what really you want me to learn from in your word today that will be part of my life. And just sure. in that time, sometimes the Spirit of God will just speak to me through his word, and I will know what to do. And sometimes through praise, sometimes just
yes.
singing all by myself, and I will feel the Spirit of God upon me, and from there I will be counseled by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Wow, Thomas, thank you for that. That's beautiful. Through God's word, through worship, and the Holy Spirit counsels him. Isn't this amazing? And how God wired us all so differently, but he speaks to us fluently in our love language because it's how he made us. And that just means God has so much more for you than you've even experienced up to this point. Esther is checking in from Sioux Falls. Hey, Esther, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Why, thank you, Susie. It's good to talk to you.
And you as well.
As Gary was explaining different things, I was realizing, you know, for myself, I need touch, kind of like a kitty cat. I need touch and affirmation. But when I dish out, I love to teach. I love to help. I'm a fixer. And when a child, you know, can finally understand something, or you can help a parent understand how to help a child with special needs, just the look between two people when finally something clicks.
Wow.
It's just really wonderful.
Well, you know,
is a great gift.
This speaks to what Gary was saying, too, about you're becoming fluent in other languages. And you think about that. When someone is fluent in multiple languages, they can travel back and forth between the different lanes, so to speak, the different languages with ease. And it's something to behold. What a beautiful thing, Esther. And I want to make sure you get a copy of Gary's book. So stay on hold and give Carissa your address, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. 877-933-2484. I can't even tell you, even though I know I had to resort to bribery to get you to call, I'm so glad you did. I just didn't want to be sitting here by myself. And what you have to say is so important. All right, Diana is checking in from Blaine. Hey, Diana, thanks for calling.
Hey, Susie.
Good to talk with you.
Yeah, so I'm realizing I don't even really know that I know all the love languages, so apparently I need to get this book. But I'm realizing, I'm thinking mine is words of affirmation, because I have a very similar experience that Gary does with, you know, sitting in my quiet time, and I just love pouring into God's word, and I just feel like he just speaks to me. I mean, I almost do a happy dance every time I make a connection throughout the day with his word. So I just love that. But one thing I also realized when you were talking about sometimes you do one language externally, but you don't like to, I don't like to receive gifts. I mean, I'm thankful when people do give me gifts, but it's not something, it makes me feel uncomfortable, but I love giving gifts. But I realized as a child, that's how my mom spoke to us. She, that was her love language. She never told us she loved us, but I'm realizing now that she was always buying us things, always. And that was just, so I'm wondering if I'm not, you know, doing that externally because, you know, I got joy from, you know, getting things, and but I never realized that as a love language.
I just had a light bulb moment, Diana. Thank you for helping me with that. My mom is one of the best gift givers I know. We have a huge family, and at Christmas time, you know, seven kids, you'd have all these presents, and if one present didn't have a tag on it because it fell off, we could literally open the present and know who it was for because of how thoughtful she was. Oh. That's a light bulb moment for me. Thank you for that. That might be why I express in that way, because it meant so much to me. That's beautiful.
Yeah, but you don't receive it. That's the odd thing. So, but it makes sense. It makes sense now. So, thank you.
Thank you, dear. God bless you. Make sure you stay on the line. And when we run out of books for Gary Chapman, we've got a whole shelf of Faith Radio books. So everybody who gets on the air will get a book of some kind. 877-933-2484. We're going to pause here for a quick short break, and I see more calls coming in. I could hug you. I'm so grateful for you. We'll be back in a minute. You are loved. You woke up every single day, and before your feet hit the floor, you reminded your soul that you are loved. You are the object of God's affection, that he sings over you. He rejoices that he made you. He loves what he made in you. What if you let that love not only heal your soul, but make you whole to the point where you no longer looked at life through your pain filter, you no longer connected with God based on the pain and the hard things you've endured, and you no longer reacted to people through your pain filter because you just, God's love started to heal you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Middays. And first half hour, I talked to Dr. Gary Chapman about his book, God Speaks Your Love Language. Those books have gone out the door. This half hour, we're taking phone calls. Really just want to know, how does God speak to you? Because you know what? He speaks your love language fluently. He made you. And so he knows how to speak a language that you understand. Lori texts in, Susie, good that you're back on the radio again. Love language, I like to be an encouragement to people to say what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. I love that. And I wonder, I'm sure that's how God speaks to you as well. He encourages you when you need to hear it. Matthew asks the question, do you think that most of the gift giving we do for others, whichever type, should be led by God? Have him lead us to whom we should bless? 100%, absolutely, Matthew. I believe that and agree with that. I think, you know, God inspires us to give and would inspire us even more often if we'd respond to him. I think the times that we have to be careful are when we are striving in ourselves and trying to give to get. We're trying to give to get somebody to like us, to get attention so people like us aren't mad at us. Then you're not really giving a gift. You're manipulating your people's perception of you, right? Those phone lines are filling up. I want you to hang in with us because Carissa has her work cut out for her. While we've processed the calls and get the next couple ready. Oh, wait, I think we've got one ready. Mike, Kim, is Mike ready? Line six? If so, let's grab him. Hey, Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
I'm well. So good to talk with you. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so glad you're back. You have got such a joyful spirit, and you were missed.
Wow, thank you so much. Appreciate that. So tell me what your love language is and how God connects with you.
Absolutely. So here's what, you know, it's interesting. In your break there, you were talking about Zephaniah 3:15, that God sings over his people. You know, the word says that by the power of his word, he holds all things together. He created us as image bearers. We're to reflect his glory. We're to use our words to proclaim his good news. So I think that ultimately all of us need words of affirmation because those words are the very words that God created us to use to speak life into each other. The power of the tongue is life or death, what you say.
So
my words would be the power of affirmation. But I think what happens is this, that they're bonded and cemented by gifts that are given to show that word is not hollow or empty. And that's why when we look at his written word, that his written word really affirms to us who he is and how good he is. Because most of the time we're looking oftentimes at trying to understand why. But when you understand who God is, he changes you.
You know, you, Mike, sound like a preacher, for one thing. I think it's just beautiful what you said. And as you're talking, I'm looking at this list in front of me, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, physical touch. And we all have a primary and a secondary love language, according to Dr. Chapman. But you're so right that if any of us went without any of these gifts, like let's say you never received gifts or never got quality time or nobody ever affirmed you verbally, or nobody ever did anything for you, or nobody ever touched you, I don't know that you could develop into the person that God wants you to be. So you're so right, and God does this. I think he reaches each of us through all of those gifts, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, that's your blessing. I met you in person, Susie, and you radiate his glory in and through just who you are, just the compassion you have. God uses you, and he's using you, and I'm glad you're obediently back doing what he's called you to do. And, you know, I don't preach vocationally, but I do evangelism daily, and
yes,
I try to speak that hope out. And, you know, it absolutely, a person without hope, you know, they die rather quickly. It's just without hope, you have no reason to live.
Well, I love you are one of God's great representatives, Mike. You've encouraged me today. We've gone through the Gary Chapman books, but we got lots of books on our shelf. So I pray that by the power of God's Spirit, you get exactly the book that you need. If you are able to hang on and give Carissa your address, we'll get you a book in the mail, okay?
Thank you so much. God bless you.
And you as well, sir. All right, we've got Lisa checking in from Barnum, line 8. Lisa, thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Well, hi, Susie. It's so great to hear you back on the radio.
Thank you.
I did miss you. Yeah.
I missed all of you so much. What about your love language?
Well, I think my love languages are words of affirmation and quality time.
Mm-hmm.
I missed part of Gary's thing when I went in the pharmacy for a while. But I really loved hearing about that. But when I really focus on connecting to God and how does he speak to me, you know, and he or singing praises to him. I ask him for his peace and his forgiveness, and I really feel him. You know, I really feel him close, and having the words of, well, now that I know how much he loves me, you know, and reading the word and doing Bible studies, and I really love how he, I just feel his love, you know, and I even wrote out some of them as affirmations on cards. So, excuse me, I was saying them every day.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, I wrote out the promises, and I try to say that I was saying them every day, you know, and how the Lord delights in me, and he's the perfect match for my every need. And
that's
really helped me.
Yeah.
Because with
God, that's wise.
I
think that's practical application, knowing your love language and really helping your heart get affirmed by what God wants to say to you, Lisa. That's wonderful. Carissa has got her hands full right now with all the calls coming in, but if you're able to hold on, get your address to her, we'll get you some kind of book off of our faith shelf. Thank you so much for calling. All right, we're going to grab Audrey from Apple Valley. Hey, Audrey, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Tell me, what's your love language and how do you most connect with God?
One of my primary love languages is gift giving. And sometimes it's just driving and looking for, it could be in a ramp, looking for a parking space. And there's a couple of cars in front of me and they miss one. I'm like, oh God, you kept that space for me. Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, just appreciating God for the gift of life, for his love, for salvation. It's just the little things that, you know, he shows up like, oh God, you did that for me. You love me so much. Thank you so much.
That's beautiful. I love that because you are aware and constantly paying attention to the gifts he gives, Audrey, because he gives us gifts every day. The Bible says daily he pours forth speech. Daily he's bringing provision, making direction for us, and we miss it if we don't have a grateful heart. I always say ingratitude blinds us to his goodness. Gratitude opens up our eyes to really how good he is. Thank you for that call. And if you're able to hang on, give Chris your address. We're going to see if we can get a couple more calls in here. Angie from Kenwick is on the line. Angie, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's your love language?
Well, I have a variety of two, and it's acts of service and quality time.
That's mine too. And so how does that play out with how you connect with God?
Well, I think that when I'm connecting with others in quality time, it just opens my heart up, and I'm more free to hear God at that time.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. That's really good. Again, when you're operating it on a relational level, I think it increases your capacity to experience God in that same realm. That's beautiful. Angie, if you're able to hold, give Carissa your address. And we've got lots of books on our Faith Radio shelf. Praying you get exactly the right one. I want to see if we can grab one more call here before we wrap this hour. Kim is checking in from Maple Grove. Hey, Kim, you're on the air.
Hi, Susie.
Hey. So good to have you. What's your love language?
My love language is words of affirmation. And I believe that, you know, through life, I've had some very hard knocks, as all of us have. And sometimes it just, you replay the lies in your mind. And so above God's word and the truth, it's also really important to get words of affirmation. And I believe that sometimes what I long for or what energizes me is what I want to offer others. And so I love to give words of affirmation also. And, you know, there is power in the tongue, power of death and life. And God's words of affirmation to us is so powerful. And so I believe that, you know, he doesn't call us out by our failures, by our fears or disappointments, but he calls us out with his grace. And we're daughters and sons. And I believe that every person that we run into, everyone is going through difficulties or hard times or doubts. And I believe that our words have the energy to lift them up, to get them through the next hour or day, or to tear them down.
You are so right. I mean, I cannot even express to you how many people I have interviewed who were at critical points in their life. And one person just had the wisdom, and they were in step with the Holy Spirit enough to know a right word at the right time, which was a trajectory changer for that person. And oh my goodness, if we could walk in such step with the Lord that we're available in the right place at the right time, and we could hear his voice and do what he says, I'm telling you what, I think his kingdom would come to earth in a way that would blow us away. You are so right. Thank you for that. Appreciate it so much.
You are welcome.
God bless you. I think we're out of time. I wonder if one more call gets processed in the next few seconds, I'll try to grab it. But we are really up against the hour here. I so appreciate you calling. So appreciate you sharing how God speaks to your heart. I'll tell you one time when I was coming off of an event, and I was sick and I was tired and I was in bed and I had a dream. And in the dream, I got this picture of all these people hustling back and forth and these clouds hovering overhead. And in a dream, I knew the clouds represented God's presence and power in our life. And everybody was walking back and forth and just didn't notice it. But one woman kept reaching up, grabbing it, and putting it on the hearts of people walking by, reaching up, grabbing it, putting it in the hearts of her child, on herself. And when I woke up, the Lord whispered to my heart, Susie, most people scratch the surface of what I've made available to them. And that was one of those moments. I wasn't one given to dreams. We got to wrap here. But I got to tell you, God just dropping that truth bomb changed the way I live. And I just want us to not scratch the surface, but apprehend everything he has for us. I really pray today's conversation was very encouraging to you. I want to meet you every day to help you in your faith walk so that you know that God's word is true, that his presence is tangible, and that it's impossible for him to fail you. Pray you'll meet us back here next time. I'll talk with my friend Liz Curtis-Higgs. It'll be another great conversation. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.